I've been asking myself a question lately, and after 28 years, it could be maybe a disconcerting question, a weird question, but what do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? If I ask that question this morning, what do you believe? This morning, I want to look, and I actually want to, I feel like I want to continue with the verses. We've been looking into Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 12. And it's about the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. But then there's something that God says, when that is done, then we need to go into something more. Ephesians 4, verse 13. If we can read that. It starts off with, until we all, and that includes all. I looked up the Greek word, it means all. Okay. I know I'm not a Greek scholar, but it means all. It means every single person. Until we all attain or get to the point of the unity of the faith. So I want to talk to you about that little phrase, maybe a little bit more this morning. And then we're going to do a wonderful little exercise together that some of you might have known and some of you might have heard and some of you might have said in your life. But we'll do that little exercise at the end. So this morning, I want to also read this verse in the Afrikaans Bible because it starts off with something that says, "Sua." So sal ons uiteindelik, met ander woorde, so verwys na die vorige vers, so sal ons uiteindelik almal kom tot die werklike eenheid in ons geloof en in ons kennis van die Seun van God. Dan sal ons sy kerk soos in die volgroeide mens wees, so volmaak en volwasse soos Christus. So. Met ander woorde, the preceding verses will tell you how. But then he says, so sal ons uiteindelik almal kom tot die werklike eenheid van ons geloof. So I want to talk about what is this thing called the unity of the faith. We all, let's start there, until we all. So the goal of the equipping, the goal of verse 12 is really in essence that we get to this point, like I just mentioned. And we all means every single one of us, without an exception. God doesn't have favorites. God doesn't have certain people in the church. But it includes a collective thought and indicates that Christian growth is progressive. It indicates that you can't grow in isolation. Ons kan nie in isolasie groei nie. The Bible said that in Proverbs. It says, the man that isolates himself seeks his own desire. It's not mine. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. So if you isolate yourself, you can't isolate yourself from the body of Christ. It's a beautiful saying in Afrikaans. Die gemeenskap van die heiliges. That's what God has called us. The communion or the fellowship of the ones that are called out, the holy ones. That's church. This is what we're having. Is this the only church? No. Somebody asked the question, when does church start? Church starts when you arrive. Because you're the church. Gary, jy is die kerk. Brannigan, jy is die kerk. Don, jy is die kerk. We're the church. But when we collectively come together, there is something that we're displaying of the body of Jesus Christ. Warts and all sometimes. Parts that are not working perfectly yet. But yet the Lord wants each part to grow up into the fullness, into that which He's calling the unity of the faith. So the unity of the faith is a oneness that is reached when one body of doctrinal truth, and we're going to look at this little thing now, the faith. Because this is not the faith that saves you and me. it's not the same word that is used here. It is talked, this term is used, I'm jumping ahead now, it's used 38 times, I think. Yeah. And one half of the 38 occurrences of the specific phrase, the faith, refer not to the act of believing, but rather to what is believed. So what do you believe? What is this, the faith that God wants us to come into? What is this thing that God has called each and every single Christian to come to? The faith. Or the unity of the faith. You see, it is this doctrinal truth that God has placed in the Bible. And He spells it out very clearly for us in the Word of God. And I've been, obviously, in this month, we celebrate on the 31st of October, we celebrate Reformation. And the Reformation, a lot of things happened in this time. I mean, John Wycliffe and all these guys, Tyndale was strangled and burned alive for translating the Bible into English. So the English Bible you are reading this morning, say thank you, Tyndale. Because Tyndale died for that. And Tyndale didn't use the Latin Vulgate that was used, that Wycliffe used. He used English and the original Greek and Hebrew. That's what he used to translate it into English. So the body of work that he did was amazing. And we celebrate men like Luther, and we celebrate men like John Calvin, and we Beza and Knox, and all these men that have gone before us to do something, to actually die for doctrine. There were moments that men had to sit and they had to work out, what do we believe? There's the Apostolic Creed. There's the Nicene Creed. And there's the Creed of Athanasius. And all three of these creeds, actually, if you know them and you've studied a little bit about them, you will understand these men, they didn't just sit around and kind of like, what do you believe? What? They actually thrashed it out to say, to collectively say, this is what we believe as the Church of Jesus Christ. Because there was a lot of things that was happening in the life of the church at that stage. The faith. The unity of the faith. You see, Paul had earlier mentioned the importance of one faith. Earlier in that chapter, chapter 4. And his point here is that the church is now moving towards the goal of appropriating all that is included in one faith. He says, now we start living it, my friends. It's not just to talk about the faith. And I think a lot of us, we talk about our faith, but we don't live the faith. You see, the faith is an active thing. It's not a passive thing. If you read the book of Hebrews, it says now faith. Now faith. Not yesterday's faith. Now faith. We need to be active. Faith is only faith when we start stepping out into sometimes the very unknown. See, the church is moving towards the goal. You see, the final perfection of this unity will not be attained until the moment when Jesus comes back. But we're moving towards that point. And I want to say, sons and daughters of Jesus, more than ever before are we moving towards something. The return of Jesus. The church, it was said, Peter said 2,000 years ago, be vigilant and pray because Jesus is coming back. 2,000 years ago. Jesus' return is imminent. The Bible says it often. We end the second last verse in Revelation says, come Lord Jesus, come. We look at the world. You open your Facebook page on any given day. It's just crazy. We need a savior. And church, we're going to go into times that your faith is going to be tested. We're going to move into times where people are going to challenge you on what you believe. And if you don't know what you believe, you will fall for anything. The winds of change the Bible talks about. The winds of doctrine that is blowing through our churches. The things that people say. Right now you have access to millions of thinkers. You just have to type one thing in on your Google and ask Google. Because Google has become our church. And we ask questions, and Wiki Answers must give us an answer to my question. And the distortedness that I see is not what the Bible is calling one faith or the faith. God is wanting us to be strong in what we believe and understand what we believe. Some of us have grown up in church and we've heard all the stories. We've gone through catechism. We've done all those things, but yet we don't know what we believe. Nevertheless, this goal is practical, for there can never be a unity in the church apart from that doctrinal integrity. And if I say doctrinal integrity, I'm talking about the interpretation of the Word of God. This, the full body of it. See, ons kan nie cafeteria Christene wees nie. You know what a cafeteria Christian is? You know what a cafeteria is? Okay. So you have these bowls of food and you decide what you want to dish. Meat. Yes, I want some meat. I'll have a bit of chicken, a bit of mash and gravy, a bit of peas. I don't know. No, let's skip the peas. Brussels sprouts. No, thank you. And Brussels sprouts is most probably Romans chapter 9 that most of us want to skip because we don't know how to interpret. Or the book of Revelation. Yeah, Brussels sprouts. You see, that is cafeteria Christianity. You choose what you want to believe. You choose what you want to read in the Bible. I've got all these silly names sometimes for Christianity. Do you know what Electrolux Christianity is? Electrolux Christianity is people that sucking up all the anointing and their bags are so full. They go from seminar to heeltemal naar. You know a seminar? You know, to heeltemal naar. That's it. So that's what they do. That was a joke. Yes, I'm here all day. Thank you very much. So they go to these seminaries and things like that, but they just become so full. And they become Electrolux Christians. And one day the bag just bursts and there's nothing that they've done with what God has taught them. And it's sad. It's sad. It saddens my heart to see that there's people that's not living flat out for Jesus. The faith. Since the faith is the body of doctrine, it's not fragmented. Logic tells us that when the body is divided, it has to be related to some departure or distortion of the faith, the doctrines offered in the Bible. There's only two times in the Bible that this word unity of the faith or unity is used. What? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 3. Both of them comes in this portion of scripture. He talks here about the unity of the Spirit. He says there's the unity of the Spirit and the unity of the faith. Go check me out. If you have a Berean spirit, go check out the scriptures. It's a noble thing. Twice it's used, this word, unity. Unity of the faith and then unity of the Spirit. So the unity of the Spirit is a gift. Like the Spirit is a gift to each one of us. The unity of the Spirit is a gift to be guarded. Whereas the present verse, the unity of the faith, is a goal to be reached. So the unity of the Spirit, Paul often talks about it. He says, my friends, in the bond of peace, as far as possible, maintain that gift of the Spirit amongst you. Maintain it. Guard it. Fight for it. Don't be divided. Love one another like I have loved you. This is how people will know that you are my disciples. Your love for one another. That is the unity of the Spirit. But the unity of the faith is a goal that God says we need to reach. Now, I know so many faces, so many opinions. I know that. And I think it was because of the popery that Luther stood up and said, you're not the only one that can interpret the Bible or read the Bible for yourself. Hence the fact that these men like Luther, Wycliffe, and Tyndale translated it for the common man. Luther translated it into German so the Germans could actually start reading the Bible. So you have the same spirit that I have. The Bible calls that spirit and says the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in your body and in your body. Your children have the same spirit. They don't have a mini-sized Holy Spirit within them. They have the same spirit. Jesus can reveal himself to them just as much as he can to you. So here's the thing. God wants us to interpret the Bible. God wants to teach us things. He says, I will send you the Spirit, the helper that will come alongside you, and he will teach you concerning all these things. The Holy Spirit, he's the one that's going to bring a conviction of sin, a conviction of judgment and righteousness. He's going to teach you. So we have it. You don't need just me to interpret the Bible for you. But somewhere God wants us to land on the same things. And what are the things that we hold dear to? What are the things that we can't be divided on? Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can't. The birth. Virgin birth. It is questioned, my friends. There are numerous people that are questioning it. So the other day, there's this ministry called Ligonier Ministries. If anybody follows them, they just released a bunch of stuff. Some stuff that people in America believe. And it's staggering to see how many of the evangelical church today don't believe what you and I even believe. It is staggering. Bible says in the last days, people will become lovers of self. They will gather for themselves teachers that will tell them what their itchy ears want to hear. This ain't one of those churches. I'm sorry, I'm not here to tickle your ear. I'm not here to tell you that all is going to be well. You know, if you got saved and somebody told you, man, everything is just going to be perfect. Everything is going to be well. You're just going to have rooskleerige lewe. Just go back to that person, rebuke him in the name of Jesus and tell them they are a liar. Because that's not what Jesus promised. He says, through much suffering, we will inherit the kingdom of God. He says, this momentary affliction, this little bit of affliction that we're going through right now will work an eternal weight of glory for you. That's the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus. That is the faith. If you don't believe that God will bring suffering upon your path and allow these things sometimes in your life, somebody has taught you wrong. There's a distortion on your doctrine. Or departure even. John MacArthur writes this. He says, the ultimate spiritual target for the church begins with the unity of the faith. That's what we want to reach. That's the goal. See, the faith is the content of the gospel in its most complete form. And again, he says that disunity in the church comes from doctrinal ignorance and spiritual immaturity. People don't know what they read anymore in the Bible. And again, ask the Holy Spirit. Ask him. He wrote those scriptures. The Bible is inspired by him. He wrote that. He will tell you what it means. And I want to pray for you this morning, straight after the service. If you struggle to do Bible study, if you struggle to have quiet or loud times with Jesus, I want to pray for you this morning that God will open up your eyes. Like Paul prays, that the eyes of your understanding, Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. That you'll be able to read the scriptures and life will come from it. If you're struggling to find it and just read dead letters, you know, I mean, as a young Christian, this is how I read the Bible. I would read it, and eventually this would happen. Nothing, it didn't work. It didn't get in there. I thought it would work, but it didn't work. And then I feel condemned and convicted, and the next morning I wake up and I go, okay, I'll read double the portion that I, you know. It's like when you skip a stop street, you'll stop there tomorrow again twice, you know, that kind of vibe. It's the same with the Bible. Then you kind of go, and then you, before you know it, you're so condemned, you don't even know where you are, Arthur or Martha anymore. You don't know how to read the Bible, nothing. Until I fell in love with the scriptures. Until I fell in love with the Word of God. That's the breath of life to me. Unity. Unity of the faith. I want to finish off with a few verses. Galatians chapter 1 verse 23. If we can turn there quickly. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith. Who are they talking about? Paul. The very Paul that writes the scriptures to us is this Paul that was persecuting the church, preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. I want to say to you, there's many Pauls in the world right now that wants to destroy the faith. Old Pauls. Actually, his name was always Saul and Paul. I'll prove that to you one day as well. His name didn't change. Take me on that one. Seriously, take me on that one. Let's have a debate on it. His name was always Saul or Paul. Didn't change. I take it out, didn't it? It's a challenge. But we know that he, that's not the reason why I'm talking about this. The reason is he was the one persecuting the church. But now he came to the faith, understanding the gospel. In Acts chapter 13, verse 8, look at this. But Elymas, the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. There's this guy in charge, and this magician is trying to prove to him that what he needs to believe is wrong. You will have a lot of magicians and Elymases in your life that when people tell you the truth, they will try and pervert that truth and turn you away from it. Turn you away from those things. Acts chapter 14, verse 21 and 22. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in, there's that word, the faith. And saying that through many tribulations we must inherit, there's that verse, through many tribulations we must inherit the kingdom. Acts chapter 16 verse 5. The churches were strengthened in the faith. And they increased in numbers daily. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13 says, be watchful, be vigilant, stand firm in the faith. Act like men, be strong. I love that. Love that language Paul is using. And Jude chapter 3. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Again, Jude is writing this. He says, guys, I want to tell you, let's talk about the salvation of how Jesus has saved us. But I want to talk to you about that we need to contend. And we see this often, actually. The language of Paul is, and he tells young Timothy right at the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4:7, he says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have been a representative of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the best of my ability by the help of the Holy Spirit. He also says to him, guard what has been entrusted to you, he says to Timothy. He says, retain the standard of sound words. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which God has entrusted to you. This is the language of Paul. He says, fight for this because I've been fighting for it. So, beloved, we too as disciples of Jesus Christ have been charged to guard the faith. The glorious treasure of the gospel in the midst of a hostile opposition and a hostile world that we live in. Because it's the only message that causes salvation to sinners. There's no other message. And that message, they want to shut up. But that message will just go further and further and further. They strangled Tyndale. They burned him alive. But yet, they say that straight after that, 12 or 14 years after his death, over 2 million Bibles were sold in Europe. The king eventually said, everybody must have a Bible. And that is what you read when you have the King James Version. Everybody must have a Bible. Because you know what? You can press us down, but we will pop up right back. And that for me is the message of the faith. Paul states this, and he says that I only preach Christ and him crucified amongst the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2. And then to the Galatian church he says that even an angel or any person that preaches another gospel, may they be accursed. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 8 to 9. That's the word anathema. May they be cut off if you preach any other gospel than the message of Jesus Christ. So what do you believe? So this morning I took the liberty to print out the apostolische geloofsbelijdenis that most of you most probably have said once in your life somewhere or heard it. And this was the first time that men sat together and decided on what do we believe. The second time was at the Council of Nicaea, where they said the apostolic creed does not explain the deity of Jesus Christ that well. So they expounded on it a little bit. But this morning I want to read it to you. And if you know the words, you can repeat them after me. But this, my friends, is the crux of what we believe. This is really what we believe. So I'm going to read it in Afrikaans, and then I'm going to read it in English, and then we're going to pray for those that are struggling. Ek glo in God die Vader, die Almagtige, die Skepper van hemel en aarde, en in Jesus Christus, sy enige gebore Seun, ons Here, wat ontvang is van die Heilige Gees, gebore is uit die Maagd Maria, wat gelei het onder Pontius Pilatus, gekruisig is, gesterf het en begrawe is, en ter helle neergedaal het, wat op die derde dag weer opgestaan het uit die dode, wat opgevaar het na die hemel, en sit aan die regterhand van God, die Almagtige Vader, van waar hy sou kom om te oordeel die wat nog lewe en die wat reeds gesterf het. Ek glo in die Heilige Gees, ek glo in 'n heilige algemene Christelike kerk, die gemeenskap van die heiliges, die vergewing van sondes, en die opstanding van die vlees en in ewige lewe. I'm going to read it to you in English. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth. And I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead, or the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Universal or Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Catholic means universal. Doesn't mean the Catholic Church. Means universal, small letter C. That's what they believe. That's what these men fought for. That's what some men died for. That's what Paul died for. That's the persecution that has started when the church started, because that's what they believe. My friends, I want to ask you, use this week to come back to the basics again of what you believe. What you believe about the Father, what you believe about the Son, and what you believe about the Holy Spirit. Let's pray.